My name's Paul, and this is TechEd Online. I'm here today with Scott, who's a principal technical writer on the Exchange team. Our topic of conversation today is Exchange High Availability. So, Scott, can you tell me or tell the audience what is high availability and why are customers demanding it?
Sure. So high availability, from an Exchange perspective, we require three criteria. One is availability of the service, the ability to just get to your mailbox and send and receive messages. One is the ability of data availability, so you can get to the data inside your mailbox and have that be up. And the third criteria is automatic corrective action in response to most failures. Not all failures. There's some failure scenarios that are so large they require a human to intervene first. But for most failures, a disk fails, the network dies, the server crashes, the system can automatically take corrective action for you. And so that's what we call high availability from an Exchange perspective.
Great, thank you. So what is it inside Exchange
2010 that allows us to deliver this high availability capability back to our customers? I mean, what are the things inside there that kind of make it HA?
Sure. There's actually a lot of features. The whole premise behind Exchange 2010 is this concept of large mailboxes at a very low cost. Years ago, if we'd been talking about large mailboxes, maybe in the Exchange 2007 timeframe, we'd be thinking about maybe 1 or 2 gigabyte mailboxes. In the Exchange 2010 paradigm, we're looking at 10 gigabyte, 20 gigabyte, 100 gigabyte mailboxes. Certainly 100 is the extreme, but that's the kind of effort, engineering effort that we put into the product to be able to scale to that size of a mailbox. So if you look at some of the features we have, like, for instance, the Database Availability Group, or the DAG, as we call it for short, it's a very popular feature. It's one of the most talked about features of Exchange 2010, and it is the platform for both high availability and site resilience in the product. Historically, we had this construct called a clustered mailbox server, and this was a network identity that floated between physical servers. With Exchange 2010, we have now failover and switchover at the database level. So there's no network identity that needs to move around. Mm-hmm. So as a result, we simply can move the designation of an active database to another server that has an up-to-date copy of that database within 30 seconds or less. It's a very, very fast type of failover scenario. Yeah. One of the other things that we've done is we've abstracted the client connection away from the information store. So when a failover does happen, the client's not disconnected. They're connected to a different endpoint on our client access server component. And when the mailbox server, or the mailbox database rather, experiences some sort of failure and it fails over to another site or to another server rather, the client doesn't notice that. They're connected to the client access server. They stay online. And so from their perspective, they have a more highly available mailbox.
It's a seamless experience.
It's a very seamless experience.
Across the other.
It is. Now, underpinning all of this is the feature we introduced in Exchange 2007 called continuous replication, or what we sometimes refer to as log shipping. So that's basically taking the transaction logs that are created on the active copy of the database that the users are hitting, mm-hmm. and replicating those to one or more passive copies of the database that exist in that same DAG unit that I described. And in doing so, you now have multiple copies of your database that can be on different servers, maybe even different locations, providing you with both, as I said earlier, high availability and site resilience.
Sure thing. Now, it sounds like what I'm hearing is that we're providing multiple databases, multiple copies of mailboxes. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds like it requires quite a bit of disk. What advances have we made in the underlying storage that allows us to provide, I guess, a lower cost per gigabyte of storage?
Sure. Well, we actually started the work in reducing our disk requirements way back when we were doing work on Exchange 2007. If you look back in Exchange 2003, pretty much the de facto storage was a very expensive storage area network. Mm-hmm. In Exchange 2007, in order to support this concept of large, low-cost mailboxes, we moved toward the ability to empower users or administrators in companies to employ direct attached storage and much lower storage, lower cost storage solutions. In fact, going from 2003 to 2007, we reduced the IOPS, the overall disk IO per second requirements for Exchange, by 70%. Then when we moved on to Exchange 2010, we also did a lot more work. In fact, we specifically optimized 2010 for these low-cost, large, slow disks, the SATA desktop class disks or mid-tier disks. Now, of course, we also support serial attached storage. We still support SANs. We still support DAS. We still support RAID. We also now enable to use non-RAID. We call that JBOD, just a bunch of disks. And so we've really opened up the storage solutions.
So there's a lot more flexibility and choice around how customers can provision disk and storage.
There is. We did a tremendous amount of work. We actually were able to reduce IOP requirements going from Exchange 2007 to 2010 by another 70%. Or if you look at the big picture from 2003 to 2010, by about 91% drop in IOP requirements.
Which is a huge.
So that huge. Yeah. So while you are certainly buying more storage in terms of capacity because you're hosting multiple copies of your database and you're going to want storage for each of those copies, you don't put the multiple copies of the same database on the same storage. That would be a bad idea. So you're going to have it on isolated different storage. But you're buying pretty much the lowest cost server end storage you could buy today. You no longer have to use an expensive SAN. Now, if you have one, you've already made the investment in that. We still support that with Exchange. Absolutely use that as much as you can. But you may have other copies of the databases that you're hosting on SANs that are hosted somewhere else, and now you have the opportunity to buy much, much lower cost storage to do that.
So customers have the choice of building a sort of a single site which is highly resilient, or they can also start to spread that across multiple sites to extend the geographical disbursement, I guess, of these of these mailboxes.
Exactly. And that is in fact one of the premises behind the DAG in incorporating both the high availability and the site resilience platform. And we had a similar ability in Exchange 2007 with cluster continuous replication for in data center high availability and standby continuous replication for out of site or site resilience type of things. But they were, even though they both use continuous replication, they were slightly managed differently. They were not a seamlessly integrated single solution. It was different forms of continuous replication doing different things in different situations. Now we've unified everything with the DAG. So the same commands that you would use to deploy servers in one data center, the same exact commands you'd use to deploy them in the other data center. The same commands you use to make a database copy in one data center, the same commands you use to make it in any data
center.
So
it's a more efficient experience for the administrator.
Oh, it's much more efficient. Yeah. We've made it incredibly easy to deploy and manage the DAG. Now, from a design perspective, given that a DAG can have up to 16 members in it, and each member with the Enterprise Edition can support up to 100 databases, that gives you a lot of permutations as to where to lay out your databases. So it can be a little challenging at first to figure out how you might want to lay out your databases, but we have a lot of guidance in that area. We've got some brilliant people who wrote some great blog articles that became some core content. So all that guidance is there as to how to exactly lay out your databases in a safe and prescribed
manner. So where should customers or admins go to find out information about Exchange High Availability?
Oh, definitely they want to go to TechNet. That's where the source is.
Yep.
So that's just technet.microsoft.com/exchange. Yep. And then, of course, they want to visit the Exchange Team blog, which is msexchangeteam.com. And then they certainly want to visit the TechEd online site and see the presentations. I've got four sessions I'm talking about this week on high availability and site resilience. Mm-hmm. And there's other great content that MVPs and partners have made on the subject as well.
That's great. Now, just one final question. Mm-hmm. Who's going to win the World Cup?
Oh, the All Blacks, of course.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Scott. And it's goodbye from Paul and Scott at TechEd Online. Thank you.